A rather nasty advanced persistent threat group known as NACON targets governments and commercial interests in Southeast Asia and the South China Sea. Well, now a team of researchers from two companies, Threat Connect and the Defense Group, has analyzed 5 years of NACON activity. They think they've identified the individual behind the malware. Rich Barger is the chief intelligence officer at Threat Connect. He joins me now with highlights from Project Camera Shy. Rich, nice to have you on.
Hey, good morning. Thank you.
All right. So first of all, what have you discovered and what is the importance of it to, say, the U.S. military?
Right. So Project Camera Shy was a research project that allowed us to, you know, characterize a threat that has primarily been targeting what we thought to be the countries within the South China Sea in that region. And, you know, this really does have an ancillary impact to the U.S., not only from, you know, a energy aspect or a shipping and transporting aspect, but there's also a significant defense impact in terms of a lot of our naval operations, you know, be it special operations in the Philippines or sustainment logistic operations out of Singapore. So there's quite a bit of a bigger impact, although it is, you know, seems to be, you know, thousands of miles away. It's an issue that's much closer to home.
All right. So first of all, tell us about NACON. What is it and what does it do? How does the malware work?
Yeah, so the NACON threat is kind of an informal name that a lot of researchers within the industry and the antivirus community have kind of informally dubbed this grouping of activity. And traditionally, this threat dates back to about the 2012 time period. And so folks have been looking at this iteratively over time. A handful of other researchers have been sharing and collaborating around this threat group. And they primarily focus on spear phishing operations, targeting, you know, military, diplomatic, maybe some commercial entities, primarily, you know, energy type organizations. Really, anybody with a leg or a strategic interest in the South China Sea would most likely be a target for this particular group.
And how do they spear their fish?
Well, that's a good question. Basically, what they'll do is they'll draft, you know, an email that appears to have some sort of, you know, interest. You know, could be in this. You know, one example we identified a Thai news article of the Thai Navy detaining some Vietnamese fishermen. So something that would be of importance to either someone within that region or maybe a diplomatic content or news story. And then they'll also put some interest information of interest into a document that's been weaponized with some pretty sophisticated malware and really use that as bait. And if anyone interacts with that content and the malware infects them, then, you know, that user is hooked and is communicating with that adversary.
Okay, so in that communication goes to a specific place that you have identified and someone who is collecting the information.
Exactly. Yes, we were able to make some pretty significant, you know, findings in terms of being able to track that infrastructure over time. So about 5 years worth of infrastructure analysis that really allowed us to map and illuminate how this threat group worked and where they were, you know, conducting their communications at command and control. And in, based on some mistakes that they made and some, which really highlights the importance of operational security and, you know, watching what you post on social media and whatnot, one of their operators slipped up and really was able to give us some details as to who the actual entity was behind the keyboard, which is pretty rare in our industry.
We're speaking with Rich Barger. He is the Chief Intelligence Officer for Threat Connect. And so who is, in fact, behind it?
Well, we were able to map the infrastructure to an individual, a PLA intelligence officer within a technical reconnaissance bureau that's primarily responsible, or their area of operations or would be the South China Sea. He's got Thai language expertise, so a lot of that lined up to an individual that, you know, has an academic background, but, you know, also access to, you know, a SIGINT facility in southern China. So, you know, posted photos of his car within the compound, you know, various pictures from within the operations center. So, you know, basically, again, you know, these operational OPSEC mistakes really seal the deal to allow us to map this infrastructure back to a PLA officer.
So he's in the People's Liberation Army, and you know his name. And this all comes just as the president of China, Xi Jinping, is arriving in the United States in Washington for talks with the president.
Correct. Yeah, that definitely was, you know, definitely coincidence, very fortuitous. You know, really bottom line here is that, you know, this is not just a U.S.-China issue, that this is a global multilateral issue. A lot of folks kind of get hung up right now that, you know, this cyber and cyber espionage is really a U.S. versus China type issue, and it's really a global issue. And so there's a lot of attention. A lot of folks are paying attention, and, you know, we have a global user base and a lot of folks, multinationals that operate in that area. And so there's a responsibility to inform those folks and share this information, of which we've been doing for years now within our Threat Connect platform. So definitely interesting stuff.
But is this the first time that an individual known to be incontrovertibly linked or as a member of the People's Liberation Army to hacking that originated in China? That is to say, we know unequivocally, this is state-connected, state-sponsored.
Yeah, I mean, there's been other instances where other security researchers have been able to identify similar things. You know, most notably, the Mandiant APT-1 report was certainly a groundbreaking event that we saw back in the 2013 timeframe. You know, but I think within our research, we approached the same problem, but in a different way. I mean, if folks want to download the research, they can go to our website and specifically look for the Camera-Shy report. And you know, we'll step you through a really methodical case-by-case basis, leveraging a DOD-derived methodology, which we call the Diamond Model of Intrusion Analysis, that really helps organizations understand how we approach this problem and some of the different ways and techniques that we applied, you know, infrastructure analysis and married that up with the persona and language analysis to really make an airtight case as to what we're highlighting here.
And if the Defense Department does have this intrusion analysis technique that you call Diamond, does that mean, or does that imply that DOD maybe knows more about the origin of some of the attacks than it lets on publicly?
Well, I mean, I don't want to confuse speak on behalf of some of the stuff that the DOD is working. The methodology or the analytic approach was what was derived. So this is a white paper that anybody can download and apply the same methodology to understand intrusion events. And that's what I'm pointing to, is that is the methodology we applied, which was a little bit different in the case of what other folks have done in their efforts in attributing cyber activity to PLA entities.
And do we know, this might be a little bit beyond the scope here, but do we know whether that methodology is incorporated in the Einstein intrusion detection system that the civilian side of the government is currently installing?
I can't say that that methodology is specifically tied to that technology. However, I would trust that a variety of the cyber centers within the Department of Defense or the intelligence community or civilian agencies would be leveraging the Diamond Model for intrusion analysis to make sense of the different events that they see, or maybe like Lockheed's kill chain methodology, which was another way that analysts look at information in a structured way so that there's analytic rigor and a common way of understanding and communicating around some of these things that are both technically very complex, but also carry quite a bit of, regional and socio-political complexity as well.
And a final question, when Xi Jing, the officer in the PLA, collected information that was spearfished through the documents he would send, where did the information go on the internet? I guess my specific question is, did it go to the deep web, and therefore it's beyond the reach of a lot of people unless they really know how to get to it?
Now, You know, it was pretty much constrained to a global command and control that an array of nodes throughout the internet that this particular group, NACON, uses, either from infrastructure that they've obtained access to on their own, or maybe it's that they're renting or buying over various points within the internet. So really, what they have is this broad array, global infrastructure that allows them to hop around and essentially a ways to attain digital mobility, if you will. And so they were able to kind of swing the stolen information around to various points of the internet to evade, you know, law enforcement or intelligence activities. However, again, this individual made some really, really egregious mistakes that mapped them back to the specific region that they lived in and that the that specific intelligence unit is also located in.
All right, so there could be sanctions. Who knows? Maybe China will go after him for being so sloppy.
Yeah, again, this is a very classic, you know, example of, you know, the importance of operational security. And I really think that there's some, you know, outside of just the technical, you know, findings here that we have that would be of interest to the network defenders, I think that a lot of the folks that are in, you know, internal security, you know, corporate security, that are physical security, that sort of thing, there's some lessons learned that folks could take from this research to really highlight, hey, you know, watch what you're saying, watch what you're posting online if you're doing some sensitive work, because, you know, one slip up like we saw here was really all that was the, you know, the difference in keeping us from, you know, being able to highlight what the specific exploitation, you know, infrastructure was to the actual individual behind it.
All right. Rich Barger is the Chief Intelligence Officer at Threat Connect. Thank you so much for that insight.
Thanks again for your time. Really appreciate it.